Scripture calls believers to live out the Christian faith, rather than just acquiring knowledge of the Bible. Knowledge easily leads to pride and arrogance, which can ignore the expectation to actively live out one's faith. In this episode of Office Talk, Tommy and Bonelli explore the false dichotomy between knowing and living truth, and speak to those who struggle to put their knowledge into action. Here is bonus episode 8 of Imprint Out Loud.
Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Hey everyone, welcome to Office Talk, where we hang together, B and me. Yeah, that rhymes.
That rhymes, yeah, yeah.
Welcome, B.
Thank you, Tommy.
Or Banele.
Yeah.
Good. What's my nickname, by the way? You don't have one for me yet.
Yeah, we're going to look for that. I should have one. It's been a couple of months now.
Well, it's more than a year, bro.
It's been more than a year. I'm lacking.
Anyway, we had Grace Group last night.
Yeah.
And I asked you to prepare a question.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, we're working through the book of Amos.
Yeah.
Where Amos 2, no, latter part of 1 into 2, where Amos says, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, yeah. Thus says the Lord. Pronouncing judgment on those nations,
yeah,
and against Judah. They had more revelation than these nations,
yeah.
Yet they were disciplined more severely,
yeah,
than the other nations. And the question was...
So the question was asking me to differentiate between the having the word, hearing the word, and living the word. And it asked a follow-up question that was saying, and what is the danger between that? It was a bit open in how what you think about that. But I understood it to mean, is there a danger in how you approach or receive any of those? And I do believe there is. Because having the word and hearing the word but not living the word is a very dangerous thing. Because that means everything is either... an arm stretch away, or in you're hearing it preached from the pulpit, spoken from people around you, but you have not taken it in to live it. And that's a very dangerous thing. So, because God, the Bible speaks against just being hearers of the word and not doers of the word.
Yeah.
And a question came up for me that inspired this office talk. Where I was like, I'm growing more and more in the conviction, and this may just be me, but growing more and more in the conviction that living the word is the priority or the aim of the Christian life, more than just so. I think like there's a sense in which you can both are important. Know the word, but the knowing of the word, the hearing of the word is supporting the living of the word.
Yeah.
And there is a danger. There is a danger in my own life where there's a sense in which you think that the living of the word is the knowing of the word. Right? So
yeah.
The more time you spend knowing the word is you actually living the word. And that's wrong in terms of the order of things. But you made a very good comment last night where you were saying, your devotions, your hearing the word during the service, and your whatever grace group time shouldn't simply be me knowing the word. If that's not living the word, if that doesn't fall under the category of you living the word,
or translates to living the word,
then you have a false dichotomy and possibly a dangerous dichotomy. Can you please elaborate on that? Just elaborate on that thought.
You know what those kind of words do to me.
Oh.
Please
speak into that and explain exactly what you mean.
The false dichotomy.
Oh, yes. So the false separation between, I'm living the word just by spending time trying to gain more information about what the word says.
Yeah.
But it actually should be the other way around where... God is primarily concerned with you living the word.
Yeah. I mean, the first text verse that comes to mind, actually two, is, and they're in my mind, hang on a second, is 1 Corinthians 8, 1. Knowledge alone can lead to pride, arrogance, and condescending attitude, especially when people think they know more than they actually do. So it's kind of like knowledge puffs up.
Yeah.
So if you just gain knowledge, it puffs you up. I'm thinking Proverbs 17 is about knowledge and also talks about the whole knowledge that's just inflating you.
Yeah.
And so you're getting fatter and fatter and fatter and lazier and lazier and lazier. And then naturally, supernaturally, God created us to be active. So thinking of Genesis, take dominion.
Yeah.
They dwelt with him, now they work. People that do not work, being active, activity helps you to slim down.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into the whole dietary issues now. But if you're just going to sit and accumulate knowledge, 1 Corinthians 8 talks about that. The whole thing of knowledge puffs up. There's a danger to then pride, arrogance. Like, I have all this. Yeah. I know all these things, right? Yeah. Which is contrary to how God created us of you get knowledge so that you can do. Thinking of Ephesians 4, even as a preacher, I equip the saints for the ministry. But how do I equip them? I give them knowledge so that they can do. I'm thinking of Philippians 2, 12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, which is action. So now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
For it is God who works in you, knowledge and spirit, both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
Yeah.
So it's that whole thing of even the Romans 12, 2 that I mentioned to you this morning that talks about the mind.
Yeah.
Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to this world. So again, action there. But be transformed by how? By the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So the knowledge actually puts into practice, and I'm not saying that just physical activity, but there's a mental activity. You're doing something with the knowledge. So in chapter 12 of Romans, you have this knowledge to what? To guard against conformity to the world and to discern what's the will of God, what's acceptable. So there's this mental activity. So the feeding, the listening, the hearing of the word gives you the energy to do the word.
So now, with that said, then Tommy, just can you, I'm going to put an illustration and maybe you can help me work through it.
It's your illustration, bro.
Yeah, so you've got two guys, both spend the same amount of time in their devotionals, same amount of time listening to the Sunday evening service and reading and growing in their knowledge of the scriptures. But then the living out of the word, one is living out and one's, I guess, the stream between the knowing is clogged. That pipe is clogged from the living out. What would you say went wrong in the other case? Where did the other guy go wrong? Because they're both spending enough time, maybe both Christians even, but they've spent enough the same amount of time learning and growing, but the other one is really struggling to live out. Where would you say is like the clog? How would you unblock that whole situation so that the other guy can also live out?
That's a good question. So anyway, You're interviewing me now, but anyway, we'll have a discussion.
We're having a discussion.
So I think the clog comes in when there's an academic intellectual connection, which you should be. There should be a connection, but that's your devotional. So you just want knowledge. I know the word better. I memorize these things, which is all good. Those are spiritual disciplines, right? But the clog, the working out then, is something like, back to your illustration. I can tell you now, these two individuals, this guy's reading the word. He understands the word. The other guy, whose action, he reads the word, he understands the word, but the word translates into his prayers. So if I read 1 Corinthians 8 or 9 or whatever it is, eating or to idols, like I said earlier, there's knowledge. And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed. So now I read this and I was like, okay, well, I don't have any idols. But hang on, it's referring to stumbling, right? Now I'm knowing the word. It's like, okay, good. Not working out is great. I know 1 Corinthians 8 is about idols, meats, great knowledge. Thank you. The action one in mind would say, my goodness, I think my idol of X actually makes a brother stumble. I actually have that brother in mind. Lord, help me to fight this idol. So it translates into action, into prayer. So help me not to be a stumbling block to Banele. Or if Paul writes about whatever, Amos. So he said condemnation, and Doug made the great connection of he was addressing all these foreign nations, and Judah was like, yeah, preach it, preach it. Kill them, kill them. That's so arrogant. So you're listening to the sermon of like, huh, I hope this guy's listening. Instead of, like this brother in our grace group last night, he confessed some sin. He's like, I could identify with this one nation not regarding human life because of my road rage. Now that's an active. He listened to the sermon, or whether you do your devotions, it's a humble, unlike I said earlier, this puffed upness of, do you know what? That applies to me. Or, man, that's good equipment that I can actually go bless this brother with or sister, or it actually fuels my prayer life. Oh, that's a good point that he made that I can help my Hindu friend at work. So you're always thinking of equipping but translating into action. It's not just, I've got this knowledge, now I know 1 Corinthians whatever or Philippians 2 says, work out your salvation. That's a great quote to quote when I'm
debating
someone. What does that look like? Knowledge puffs up. Or work out your own salvation. You write it down. It's like, man, that sounds so practical, but I'm going to ask the preacher afterwards and say, bro, just help me practically. You gave a few suggestions, but just how can I work out my own salvation? Because I know I'm not saved by works. But you are saved to do works. But how does this work? That's already an activity.
That's a very good point, bro, because it's actually making me think now that we are responsible in the sense like we're to blame for standing in the way of us living out. Because when you're reading the word, the Holy Spirit is working in you if you're a believer. So now the clog itself is your pride. Because you can allow that to open up and say, God, convict me. Work in me. If I still need to grow in self-control, if I still need to grow in loving my neighbor, work in me to be able to do those things. But the other guy is like, okay, I've gained another verse. In memorizing this verse, I've gained another verse that I could just quote in the midst of a group of guys who are listening to me, kind of thing.
Or if someone else quotes the verse, I can say, no, that's not in 1 Corinthians 7, it's actually in 8. So there's pride. So something else that I do in my personal devotions most mornings, I sit down before I even open the Bible, and I said, Lord, and I thank him for something like praise him that I woke up so that I can read the Bible. Mm. So I praise him. But then standard, I'm just like, Lord, I'm going to open my Bible.
Yeah.
Today I read 2 Corinthians.
Mm.
I'm going to open my next chapter, 2 Corinthians 6.
Mm.
Please reveal yourself to me. Help me to see Jesus.
Yeah.
Help me to humble myself in saying thank you that you saved me from this, if it reveals this. But help me to do what you are saying today.
Yeah.
Then I read the chapter, I study it, I do my Simeon Trust stuff with the chapter that I'm working through. But then I was like, man, that one, so 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6 that I read this morning, so later on, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Mm.
So I've read it, I've underlined it. Now I'm just like, Lord, to me, the time that you gave this morning is favorable. You gave it to me.
Mm.
Help me to afresh realize how great the salvation is that you gave me. Thank you that you revealed it to me. and then it says in verse 3, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. Lord, obviously Paul wrote this to a church. Mm. Help me as an elder at Brackenhurst not to be a stumbling block to people.
Yeah.
Help my ministry not to be a stumbling. So now it's verse 3 and I've already prayed 5 minutes on what I read. So that's the action. And then he goes through all these afflictions. And then I prayed this morning. I was like, Lord, thank you that half of these afflictions I can't even identify with.
Mm.
Praise the Lord that you saved me from a ministry like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But help me to reflect on verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Well, thank you that my wife is saved.
Yeah.
I'm not unequally yoked there. Mm. Protect me from whatever, whatever. And then he goes in, quotes Isaiah. Anyway, so that, I think, and that's just the action of prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Never mind, Lord, help me as I go to work to minister to my work colleagues.
Yeah.
And when you get to work, you're like, okay, 1 Corinthians 6 talks about, sorry, 8 talks about idols.
Mm.
I know I've got a Hindu guy at my work, and I'm going to ask him about his idols that he serves.
Yeah, yeah.
Just open a conversation.
Mm.
So now you venturing into activity of evangelism. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's become evident as we were speaking that the one approach, the living the word approach is more centered on my knowledge of the word is helping my relationship with God and then my relationship with others.
Yeah.
But the other one is centered on my knowledge of the word is helping me look better. So it's very much self-centered in that sense. And yeah, that's a very good point. Very, very helpful, yeah.
Any other questions? Crash landing it again.
No one.
Well done.
Yeah.
Thank you for the
discussion.
But
if you have other questions, the listener, then please send them through to
info@imprinton.org. There we go.
Yeah.
Thanks, B. Always enjoyed chatting to you.
It's a pleasure.
More to follow.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it, or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.